You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC, and your daily reminder that the Reds are what Trev Downey's father would call a parcel. And that's it. Podcast over. See us all Monday. We lost the derby last night to an absolutely abysmal Everton team who bullied us, who outfought us. Sean Dyche absolutely pulled Jurgen Klopp's pants down and tanned his arse. And everybody involved should be absolutely mortified today, with the lone exceptions of Alisson Becker and Luis Diaz. Diaz wasn't good, but at least he tried. Alisson actually seemed to give a shit, and none of the rest of them did. Not one. Couldn't have cared less. Club vice captain, Thompson about in midfield, doing absolutely nothing. Oh, but he played two great passes. What else did he do? What else did he do? Go and take a look at him for both goals, particularly the second one. Falling in love with himself, playing Hollywood pass after Hollywood pass, putting in no effort. And then he's on the sideline and he wants us all to feel sorry for himself. Sorry for him, rather, while he feels sorry for himself. The Trent inverting thing is shit and needs binning. And we'll come back to that. Ibu, absolute stinker of a performance. Absolute stinker. But he's the biggest victim of this Trent inverting shit, because he's asked to play centre-back and right-back in a really high, aggressive defensive line. He's being asked to cover far too much ground. There's no centre-back in the world could play that role and have good performances consistently. Now, he did get bullied last night by Calvert-Lewin. That's a different matter. That is not acceptable. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is crap. He is so irrelevant that when Gary Neville was giving him the Man of the Match award, he called him Daniel Calvert-Lewin. So, away to fuck, Ibu. Go and have a word with yourself. Van Dijk? Crap last night. Crap. Better than the other fella next to him. The best of the back line by a wide margin, but still crap by his standards. Got far too involved the referee, whinging and crying, rather than getting involved the fella who was bullying our back line. Rather than going and flattening somebody. Andy Robertson, he ran up and down. He had the technical ability of a wheelie bin last night. His crossing was shit. His corners were shit. And when he got into their box, my good Lord, was he atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. McAllister tried a bit, didn't have the required physicality. Curtis Jones was dreadful. Szoboszlai was pathetic. Spent a fair amount of time rolling around on the ground rather than just going and smashing into one of their players. Mo Salah might as well have sat in the stands for two reasons. Number one, he was hopeless. And number two, we had him playing that wide. I genuinely thought he was playing as linesman. Stood over on the touchline, doing nothing, just an absolute irrelevance in the game. Diaz, like I said, he tried, but he wasn't good. Wasn't good by any stretch. Like, you might give him a 4 out of 10 for effort and maybe 1 point for performance. So maximum a 5 out of 10. Maximum. And that's, without question, the best outfield mark you're giving anybody. And Darwin Núñez. Well, fuck me. I have defended Darwin probably as much or more than most. There's no defending that performance last night. He got his big chance and he just lashed it as hard as he could. Same shit against Crystal Palace. The Palace chance was a lot harder than that one last night. But just blindly hitting it as hard as you can. His first touch was hopeless. He did set up Diaz. Diaz missed a big chance. But he was hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. And then in the second half, he might as well not have been there. No movement, no effort, no desire, nothing. Harvey Elliott came on. He ran about a bit, did nothing. Endo came on, looked like he'd won a raffle. Kwanzaa, to be fair, came on, crunched into a tackle, still lost some aerials. Gomez came on, Costas came on. Costas put in more dangerous balls in the few minutes he was on the pitch than Robbo had in the time he was on the pitch. Robbo played 90 minutes last night, by the way. 91 minutes or something. I think he came off on 85. And there'd been 6 minutes of stoppage time in the first half. Same with Trent. They were absolutely rancid, the pair of them. Robbo at least ran up and down. Trent sauntered about the place. Needlessly demanding the ball just to give it back to the fella that had it. And then trying to play Hollywood passes for whatever purpose. Maybe that's the tactical game plan. Maybe it is. But the tactical game plan is atrocious. We look the worst coach side in the league. And it's not just last night. We didn't look well coached against Fulham. The Fulham win was overhyped. We didn't play particularly well. We scored from a very, very good goal by Gravenberch. And then I would say bad goalkeeping and good finishing from Jota. A mixture of both. Jota does well to get the strike on target the way he does and get that much power in it. But I still think the keeper should save it. But the first half was abysmal. Palace was atrocious. Both games against Atalanta were atrocious. United away was atrocious. Like, it's not just one game. You can even go back before that. Look at the early portion of the season, we weren't playing well. We were winning games. We weren't playing well. We'd run in January, February, where we played well in some games. We played badly in others. But this inverting the fullback thing is absolutely horrible. It's horrible for the defense because it leaves them massively exposed. In particular, because when we do it, we're also sending Andy Robertson hairing up the left flank to hold width on the left, as opposed to having him sit in and form a back three. Now, he can't do that anyway because he's not good enough defensively in that centre-back role. He's a bit too small. He's a bit too rash and a bit too prone to going to the ball, which is not necessarily what you always want as a centre-back. But if he was playing in a back three, at least we'd have a back three. But he doesn't. He launches forward. So we've got two defenders. Trent not bothering his hole defensively. McAllister tries defensively, and he's pretty good defensively, but he doesn't have the mobility or the size or the power to really break things up the way you'd want. Like, Endo does a better job of that side of it, but Endo's not good enough under pressure on the ball. We saw it last night. How many times did he give the ball away? First touch was like a curb, bouncing all over the place. It demands ridiculous amounts of the right-sided midfielder, who's having to do a ton of dog work tracking back, in part because Trent doesn't do it. And it demands that Salah hold the width and stay as wide as possible because Trent's not there to hold the width. Trent was getting, you know, 15, 20 assists a season as a right back. And someone who's definitely Dutch decided, I know what we'll do. We'll play him in midfield. And I say he's definitely Dutch because he came out and said it was his idea, which is what he likes to do. He likes to claim everything's his idea. Remember last summer, there was all this talk about how Liverpool were building this cage type of thing to improve one-touch play. And Linders talked about how the style of play was going to be street football. Well, I don't know what streets he grew up playing on, but what we watch is not street football. In fact, it's the furthest thing from it. You've got players in that team, other than Diaz, terrified to try things. Other than Diaz and Trent, obviously. Trent will try anything. But the rest of them, it's hopeless. It's absolutely hopeless. That was an embarrassing performance last night. But there has been a bit of an overreaction in terms of people saying, oh, we need a complete clear out. That's not true. That's not true. Let's look at our squad, right? Alisson's the best keeper in the world. You're obviously keeping him. Adrian got to go. Far, far away. Then we've got Quevin Kelleher, who you'd absolutely keep if not for the fact that he probably brings in 20 to 25 million this summer after the season he's had. So you move him on and you bring in, let's just say, Anthony Patterson, because he's the name that's been mentioned, young Sunderland goalkeeper. I think he's 23. And you look to get, you know, 2 to 3 years out of him, and then you move him on at a profit. That'll be the plan there. And someone like Pitaluga or Mrozek or whoever steps up to replace Adrian, or maybe they sign some old veteran, ideally homegrown player, to be the third choice goalkeeper. In defence, Joe Gomez is an interesting one because Joe had a tremendous season up until Atalanta at home when he was hopeless. And he offers great versatility. He's been, I think, comfortably our best left back this season. Obviously, can play centre back, can play right back. He's also played a couple of games as the holding midfielder. If a big offer came in, I think you take it, because again, it's not that hard to find good young defenders that you could bring in. But one as good as Joe, as versatile as Joe, that is difficult. But he will be 27 in May. And he might well want to go somewhere that he might start. So if a big offer comes in, you absolutely consider it. Van Dijk, you keep without question. Konate, you keep. But the fitness stuff worries me. Like, he's only played 90 games for us. And what's this now, year three? And when you consider we play roughly 60 games a season, I know we didn't last year. Like, it's still quite low. Played 29 games his first year, 24 the second year, 36 this year. But he's only played 21 league games. Now, I know some of that was rotation. But that still means there's been 13 league games he hasn't played in. Last season, there was 20 league games he didn't play in. And the season before, there was 27. Like, 50 league games in 3 years is not enough. Not nearly enough. You look back further than that, 14 league games his last season at Leipzig, 8 the year before. The injuries are a concern. So you likely buy a very good right-side centre-back who is at or close to Ibu's level or has the potential to get to that level. Maybe someone like Diamande of Sporting would make sense there. Lenny Yarrow would have made a ton of sense, but it looks like he's going to go to Real Madrid. Costas and Robbo, take them as a pair. One of them needs to go this summer. Robbo is 30 with 1 year left in his deal. It makes more sense to sell him. He's on higher wages. He'll bring in a bigger fee. And I know he's probably still slightly better than Costas, but there's very little between them. Costas has been better than Robbo this season, but Robbo's had the injuries. But Robbo was poor last year, and at the end of the previous year, at the end of 21-22, he was really struggling. The other thing to consider there is Costas is used to being the backup. Robbo might struggle with the transition to being a backup left back. It's very unlikely we give him a new contract, in my opinion. I just, again, it's Edwards. I don't see it happening. So I think I'd move Robbo. If you can get a good fee for him, great. If you get a decent fee, just take it. And thank him for absolutely everything. He's been an incredible player for us. Like, this is not anything personal. It's just we have to look forward. Joel Matip, you'd let go. Reece Williams, I think you'd let go. Trent, obviously, you keep, but you have to figure out how you want to use him. Kwanzaa, you absolutely keep. Obviously, a really good backup for Virgil, I think. That can be how we use him next year. And Conor Bradley, you keep to be the backup right back. So ideally, Trent is the right back. Ibu, Virgil, and a new left back with Bradley, a new backup, Kwanzaa, and Costas. And then you've still got Scanlon and Chambers as further depth. And young Calvin Ramsey. And maybe Sepp Vandenberg doesn't get sold. Maybe he ends up staying so he can be the fifth centre back. That's a pretty strong group. That needs two players in. two players in. I didn't even mention Joe Gomez, did I? I didn't mention Joe Gomez. So Joe is the backup centre back, and Joe Kwon set a new signing. So that's your five centre backs. So you can let Vandenberg go. Trent and Bradley, Ibu, Virgil, Gomez, Kwanzaa, and one as your five centre-backs. Somebody and Costas as the left-backs. It's not bad. That's one sale in the defence, plus Matip's contract expiring. Oh, and Rhys Williams. So actually, it's three leaving, two coming in. That's not wholesale changes. And I'm doing this for Annie Slots 4231, by the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Midfield. Endo's fine as a squad player, but he should never be the starter. He's not good enough to be the starter. He's also not able to play a consistent run of games without picking up knocks and getting tired. But as a backup, he'd be really good to have. Thiago will leave this summer. It's really unfortunate how that's gone. He's one of the best players I've ever seen. He's an incredible midfielder, but his body just lets him down. Szoboszlai, I think, will explode under the next manager because I don't think he's going to be used like a cart horse. Be it Amorim, be it Slot, whoever, if they put him in more advanced positions where he belongs, I think he'll be sensational. I think Alexis will thrive under any manager. He's been really, really good under Jürgen, obviously was really, really good under De Zerbi. Could see him being really, really good under Slot. Could see him being great under Amorim. I think he's just an outstanding footballer. Curtis, obviously, you keep. Harvey, obviously, you keep. Gravenberch is an odd one. Like, I'm not the biggest fan. I don't understand why he wasn't brought on last night. I just can't grasp. But he had his best 19 minutes of league action for us before he was taken off against Fulham. And then doesn't even see the pitch last night. That's just weird to me. He's an awkward fit under Slot. He doesn't fit a double pivot. Could he be the backup 10? Maybe. Maybe. That might be a good use of him. He doesn't fit under Amorim really at all. But as a backup 10 under Slot, that might be interesting. You'd imagine Harvey'd be the backup right winger, Curtis one of the backup midfielders along with Endo and Besetic. So you need one in midfield. You need one in midfield. I think we need two starting wingers, but we'll get to that. Bobby Clark, obviously young player, plenty of time to develop with him. Same with Stefan Besetic. Same with James McConnell. You're obviously keeping all of them. You might consider a loan, but you're not going to be selling them, obviously. But it's the attack that I think does need some work. Luis Diaz, Graham Kelly said it best. There's a lot of huff and puff, but there's no end product, really. 94 appearances, 24 goals, 10 assists. I mean, that's miles off the required level. It really is. And I know he was great when he first arrived. Like, he was sensational that first run. He hasn't been since. He does put in the effort. That's the one thing you'd say to him. But the cynic in me wonders, is that to look for a move abroad to try and impress others? Is it to play for a new contract? I'd be looking to get out of the Luis Diaz business this summer, to be honest with you. There's too much inconsistency, and there's too much noise. Like, there's too much noise. Why is your dad always talking about you wanting to go play for Barcelona? His dad is like Lamar Ball. And I'll leave it to ye to Google who Lamar Ball is if you don't know. But that's who he reminds me of. A more fun version, maybe, but that's who he reminds me of. Gakpo, I mean, there's talent there. There's no question. He's a good fit under Amorim as one of the two behind the striker, as like a backup to Dom, maybe, in one of the roles. He lacks burst, he lacks consistency. Maybe he lacks confidence, I don't know. Definitely lacks the ability to play his size. Jota's great, but he's injured too much. So he can't be a starter. But given everything else that needs to be done, you probably keep him at least one more year and then see where he stands. I would say the same with Cody. Give him a year, see where he stands. Maybe have Cody as the backup left winger, Jota as the backup nine. Hey, Gordon, Ben Doak, Luis Cumas, and Jadon Dans are all kids. You keep them, you develop them. Maybe you look for a loan. Maybe Ben Doak goes on loan and gets 25, 30 games, similar to when Harvey went to Blackburn. Maybe you look for one of those type of loans for him. Then we come to Darwin and Mo. I think Mo's going this summer. I don't think he's a particularly good fit under Arnie Slot. Unless he plays the 10. Now, that could be interesting. But do we really see Michael Edwards giving him a new deal? I just don't, for some reason. I think the money's where Edwards will get tripped up with this one. Like, what's he on now? 350 plus bonus? If he's willing to come down a little bit, maybe. But would you? I wouldn't. Not when I'm getting offered 100 million a year in Saudi. He's one of the best players we've ever had. He's the best or second best attacker that the Premier League has ever seen. Him and Henry are the two. If you're picking an all-time Premier League front three, it's those two and probably Alan Shearer. That's probably what you go with. He's incredible. He's been awful since coming back. He's not being used properly. That's one factor. Darwin's collapse in form is another factor. Darwin's not occupying defenders anymore, and that leaves Mo without space. But the fact that he's been hurled out as far wide as he is doesn't help. He's not playing well. He's not playing well is a big factor. I think he goes. Which would mean we need two wingers. Right and left. That's where money will have to be spent. And then you've got the big Uruguayan fella. Like, you can't defend the current form. Can't defend the conversion rate. Earlier in the season, he was still missing as many chances, but he was scoring or creating or just playing really well and contributing to us winning games, and now he's not. Last night was an absolute shocker. So I don't know what you do with him. I think Amorim would play him and Szoboszlai behind the nine. If you look at the best version of Sporting, it's Gyökeres with Pote Goncalves and Paulinho behind. I know people like Trincão and they like Marcus Edwards, but when he's got everybody fit, Pote and Paulinho behind Gyökeres is one of his absolute go-tos. So that would work well if we brought in a nine. But Arne Slot doesn't play like that. He plays with one nine, a 10 behind. So there's no starting role for Darwin unless he's the nine. And can he really be your nine? Can he really be the guy, the main goal scorer? I mean, he is only 24. He turned 25 this summer. There's loads and loads to like about his game. I mean, you see Ollie Watkins having the season he's having. Given what Ollie Watkins was a few years ago, which was a much worse version of Darwin, you do see the potential, but if Mo goes, we can't afford for Darwin to have another season like this. Even if you bring in goal-scoring wide players, in a 4-2-3-1, they're not going to get in the same positions as Mo and Mane did for years with Bobby. Like, you could look to bring in Mohamed Kudus and Michael Olise, let's say. Olise right, Kudus left. Both of them are capable of scoring goals. Olise has 7 and 15 appearances this season, and not all of them are starts. And Kudus, I think, has 7 in 29. So they're not carrying the same threat. Now, they'll get better and they'll develop. They're only, I think, 22 and 23. But they're not going to get you 20 goals a season next year. So you'd need Darwin to get you 25. Well, they get maybe 10 each, 12 each. And that's just, that makes it a lot to do. Centre-back, left-back, defensive midfielder, two wingers, striker, and a backup goalkeeper. Backup centre-back, I should say. You might not need the backup centre-back if you keep Sepp and you've got Joe and you've got Kwanzaa. Maybe that's enough to ride out one season. Maybe it is. But still, left-back, holding midfield, both wings and a nine. That's a lot. That's a lot. It's 5 starters and a backup goalkeeper. 6 players. It's a big job. I think Amorim's system needs less. Amorim's system would need 4 players. 4 starters. He wouldn't need the 2 wingers. Left wing back. Left centre back, defensive midfield, and a 9. So 4. 4 starters for him and a backup goalkeeper, assuming Kelleher leaves. Feels like a lot less to do. Feels easier and cheaper as well, because I think a left side centre back, I think you can get a really good one in Ricardo Calafiori for about 35 million as opposed to 60 million on a winger. It's not the tear it down and build it back up that some people are making out to be, but it is a fair amount. There are players to sell. Diaz, Salah, I mean, that's probably 160 million between the two of them. Robbo probably brings in 20, 25, and say Kelleher brings in the same. That could be about 210, 220 million brought in, which would solve all the issues. Milos Kerkez would be 35, Calafiori 35, Varela, say 50. And that would leave you with, say, let's 15 million to go and get your backup goalkeeper, and then 85 to lob on a striker. To lob on somebody like Isak. I think he'd cost more, to be fair. Jokeres. I think it's actually easier to go the Amorim route. He's the better manager as well, but I think it's easier to go to his system than it is to go to what Arne Slot is going to want if Mo leaves. Now, look, we might just keep Diaz on the left wing for a year and he can huff and puff away, but he's going to have to be replaced in the next 2 years. The issue for me is with Virgil and Alisson in the team, we need to be competing for the title every year. We can't be wasting any more years of their careers. We wasted last year. We wasted 2021. That was on Ali, not on Virg. He got injured, but we wasted last year on them. We can't be wasting these players' careers. They're far too good. They deserve far more. I've been rambling for a long time, so I'm just going to check what is up on AnfieldIndex.com. We are to record Scouted for West Ham later today, so we'll see what kind of mood we're in on that one. There's a couple of pieces on Arne Slot, including David Ornstein saying that Arne Slot, the buyout might be more than we're willing to pay, which is really interesting. There's also been a lot of careful wording around it. Oh, he's the preferred choice, but there are still other candidates. It's odd. It is really odd. There's a couple of pieces on last night. James Pearce saying replacing Klopp is now less daunting. I agree. I really do. Look, he's obviously been incredible, without doubt. The first four full seasons were amazing. The last four haven't been. 2021 was a disaster, and it was a large part of it was his fault for leaving the squad short the way he did. 21-22, great run, but we didn't win the major honours. Last year was an absolute disaster. Again, it was on him for bizarre tactical approaches and his failure to turn the midfield over. And I know what people are saying, and I've said it as well. We'd have all taken been in a title race with five games to go at the start of the year. We all would have. But ultimately, if we end up third with the League Cup, that's sort of the bare minimum for this team. Like, the floor for this team coming into the season was third. Anything below that would have been an absolute disaster. Now, nobody saw Villa. Well, few people might have seen Villa being as good as they are, but they're still not as good as us. We weren't looking at Spurs and thinking, well, they'll finish above us. We weren't looking at United and thinking they'll finish above us. We all knew Newcastle would fall off. We all knew Chelsea were a shambles. Didn't think they'd be this bad, but we all knew they were a shambles. Like, who else were you expecting to finish above us at the start of the year? If you think third is a great achievement. Third was the floor for this team this year. And let's be honest, it's not like Arsenal and City have been flawless this year. It's not like they've only dropped points in a handful of games. Arsenal have dropped points in 10 games, as have City. It just so happens that we've dropped points in 12 games. Last season, City won the title only dropping points in 10 games. And that was probably the weakest of City's titles. The year before, it was 9 games. The year before was the COVID title. City didn't get going until like February. Same last year, to be fair. But like, when we won the title, we dropped points in 6 games. When City won it the year before, they dropped points in 6 games. When they won it the year before that, they dropped points in six games. Like, those were great teams. City 17-18, City 18-19, us 18-19, us 19-20. Those were great teams. These aren't great teams that are in the league now. The league is not as good now at the top end as it was for that run when we won our title. Like, that was a really, really special 3 years for the Premier League to have first that City Centurions team, lastly, our 99 point team, and in that middle year, us and City. Like, the league has never, never seen two teams in the one season be that good, ever. And none of the teams now are close to that. Like, this City team are not close to that. This Arsenal team are not close to that level. If Arsenal win out, they'll finish with 89 points. Like, that's 10 points less than we got when we won the title. If City win out, they'll get to 91. 91 would have won the league last year, would not have won the league in 21-22, would not have won the league in 19-20, in 18-19, or in 17-18, or in 16-17. Like, there's only two seasons in the last bunch of years, since basically Pep and Klopp came to England, that this year's total would have won the league. Which tells you it's not a great league at the top end. So, yes, we'd all have taken this, but a big part of why we're here is also that the other teams, just they're not of the level of those title-winning teams that we've seen in previous years. Third is the floor for this team. Podcast-wise, just post-match Raw from last night if you want to be really depressed or listen to me shout and roar. Even Matchett was angry. Do you know how bad Liverpool have to be for Carl Matchett to be angry? Like, that's a tremendous thing. Downey was furious too. They're just better at holding it in than me. Yeah, there's a bunch of pods to come. Like I said, Raw will be recorded today. Rival Recon will be done. There's a Scouser Tommy's coming. There's a bunch of stuff coming. Press conference pod and different things. So do make sure to listen to all of those things. And I will see you all on Monday. I won't be here tomorrow. So if there's any news or anything, Guy or Dave Davis will fill in. And they might fill in anyway. So there you go. Right, bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.